This morning may be a little bit different. It's Cafe Church, which means it's always different. But this morning, we're actually beginning the process of listening to God and to one another as we set out on our search for a new minister. And we're going to do that this morning in a particular way. We're going to do it by listening together to the story of Abraham, or Abram, as he is when we pick up his story, as he sets out following God's call into the next leg of his journey. And we'll be asking what God might be saying to us as we set out on this next leg of our journey through Abram's story. Does that make sense? Because, of course, as you know, finding a new minister isn't just about appointing somebody to a job. It's about asking God to guide us to the person he's prepared and is guiding to us so that we can walk together in this next chapter of God's story in this place, the story that God's writing through our lives with our lives. So finding a new minister isn't just about what we want. It's about trying to discern what God has for us, listening for the loving wisdom of God for this community and for us as a church together. Now, that involves listening to what we want. It involves listening to what's important to us, but all the time asking God to sift that, to help us see a bit more clearly things as he sees them. You remember the prayer of the psalmist? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. It's a prayer I pray many mornings as I wake up with all of my anxieties for the day. Lord, show us where our anxious thoughts and the other things that drive us might be in danger of blowing us off your best course for us. Cut through all the noise and help us to hear your voice and to trust in you. One of the ways we hear God's voice is by listening to Scripture, to the way God has spoken to his people in the past. And as we do that, we ask the God who spoke then and who is here with us now, here with us this morning, to speak to us. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to listen to two readings that tell the story of Abram. Well, let's just take a moment to stop and to recognize the presence of the living God here among us this morning. The Lord is here. And nothing matters so much at this moment but that he is here with us. Father, we know that you are always with us. But we thank you particularly at this moment, as we stop to become conscious and aware of your Spirit among us, we thank you that you graciously are here among us now. We thank you that you are the God who rises to show us welcome. The smile of whose love we see on the face of Jesus. Lord, please breathe your Spirit upon us this morning. Reach out to those places in our minds and our hearts where we get ourselves lost sometimes, and draw us into that fresh and deep awareness of your presence here. We thank you for your grace, which is greater than all our failings and all our weakness. And we thank you that as we officially and consciously set out on this journey into this next chapter of your story here, that we can consciously come to entrust it and one another and this community, the communities that we are part of. Lord, that we can entrust all of this into your hands. And thank you that you promise us that as we seek your wisdom, you give it. That as we seek your guidance, you give it. And Lord, we know that that might not be a straightforward journey, but we come together to place our whole trust and confidence in you. In you are great and gracious and merciful and loving Father, living God. We bless and worship you this morning. Enable this time to be part of our offering of worship to you this day as we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord. Amen. And Wendy's going to come, and Wendy's not going to come. Wendy's going to pick up her microphone and read to us our first reading.
Hebrews chapter 11 tells the story of the great journey of faith that every generation of God's people is part of. It's a story that goes all the way back to creation and runs on through to today. Hebrews 11, 1 to 3. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And then the chapter goes on. By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, until we come in verse 8 to Abraham. By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth.
Thank you, Wendy. And the chapter goes on. Some of you will know, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Moses' parents hid him. By faith the people, this wasn't just the leaders, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea. By faith, Rahab, you remember, who hid the spies who'd gone to spy out the land. Not a Jew, an outsider, someone who we are told is a prostitute, someone utterly condemned by decent people, in inverted commas, in those days. Rahab is gathered into the story and into the genealogy, the family, the inheritance that Jesus comes from, as later is Ruth, who we'll be going back to next week, Ruth the Moabitess, another outsider. And this is the story that we've been gathered into. If you have read your History of the Hub, and if you haven't, you don't know what you've missed. Di Durden produced it, and I'm sure there are a few around you can borrow. It's actually a really good story, really well told. But the picture. I don't know, were any of you here when the picture of the new building? I recognise Tom Duncanson. I wouldn't recognise anybody because it was a while ago, wasn't it? And right in the corner is another picture. Because if you've read this story, you'll remember the Cross family who moved to Beeding Court Farm, and some of you can locate that, back in 1905. And, well, I don't know whether you can remember the Butchers moving in. I guess some of you were around then. But the Cross family arrived with 6 sons, 4 daughters, and several of their farm workers, along with livestock, furniture, farm implements, cats, dogs, and an endless assortment of goods and chattels. And they had so much stuff that they actually hired a special train to bring them from the West Country up here. And I guess there was a station, wasn't there, in Stenning or somewhere at that time. Amazing, really. But these people, they had a farm of 1,200 acres, a bit bigger than our back garden. I don't know, I guess that's a reasonable size, because they also had 1,000 sheep to look after, not to mention 10 children. And yet, within 2 months of moving, as Christmas approached, they opened a Sunday school in the farmhouse kitchen. There are pictures of all of these things in the book. I really wish we could lift them out, but we just couldn't do that. They weren't easily done. But they opened the... Well, somebody can, yeah. They opened the Sunday school in their kitchen, and in that way, they began to share the love of God and the fullness of life that comes through knowing and following Jesus, exactly what we're here to do in our time too. And there is a picture of the Sunday school in the book. And I don't know, I'm very bad at approximating, but there are scores of children. It was obviously that sort of community. And we've got one or two pictures just to take you back to one or two slides just to say, well, I mean, that's today. You can probably find out where that is. But the other one is it Bramber? Is that a Bramber High Street? You recognise? Yeah, there we are. We're back in that sort of era. But that then gave way to the building of the Mission Hall, which originally stood here back in 1913. I don't imagine many people here can remember that one. But the Mission Hall, where people gathered to worship, to discover more of this God who they'd already discovered had brought hope and purpose to their lives. The Mission Hall that made way for this building that was opened in 1966. And then a story many of you will be more aware of, its subsequent development that has allowed the development of the life of the hub as we know it today. It's quite a story, isn't it? And this is the story that we've been gathered into. This story stretching back to Abraham, coming through Jesus and the early church, through the Cross family and so many more to today. This story of the great family of God's people living and moving on by faith is our story. The story of the great journey of faith. And did you notice the very last bit that Wendy read, which said, all these people were still living by faith when they died? The very end of Hebrews 11 says this: these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for them, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Would the story come to its climax? This is the story of the great movement of God's Spirit through the centuries that we've been caught up into. And it's really quite breathtaking. But it's also a very personal story. A very personal story for Abraham and Sarah and their extended family. A very personal story. And we hear something of that personal dimension in the second reading that Wendy's going to read to us from Genesis 12.
The Lord said to Abram, Go from your country, from your people, and from your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev.
Thanks, Wendy. So just a few things to notice, then a few questions for us to think about. The first thing to notice is that for Abraham, this was the second leg, at least the second leg, of a major journey. He'd already uprooted his family and moved on from Ur up to Haran, I guess along the river valley. And here was God calling him to move on again, back down the coast, back down towards Canaan. And you feel for him, don't you? Have you ever moved? Do I hear the groans? He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they gathered in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And unlike for the Cross family, there were no trains available and no removal firm to be called in, as I suspect Peter and Vicky will at some stage. And even when they got to Canaan, did you notice they didn't settle? They kept on moving. And the reading ends with them still moving. Then Abraham set out and continued towards the Negev. What's in the Negev? A desert. When our boys were little, we've got two boys now, no longer little, but when they were little, we'd sing a song in church about Moses. And we didn't know about earworms in those days, but it's one of those songs that's really stuck. You know, I won't sing it to you, don't worry. But there's it begins, "Moses, I know you're the man," the Lord said. "You're going to work out my plan," the Lord said. "Lead all the Israelites out of slavery." And this next line is it. "To be a wandering, traveling folk called the people of God." And that's who we are, a wandering, traveling folk living in tents called the people of God, traveling in all sorts of ways. And if the first thing we notice about this story that we've been caught up into, is that we keep on moving, the second thing is that this isn't just a physical journey. It's not even primarily a physical journey. It is a journey out of all of our earthly securities into a deeper trust in God. I guess that's where the journey of life ultimately takes us as we cross the frontier of death. But before that, it's a journey out of all our earthly securities into a deeper trust in God. Did you hear Genesis 12:1? The Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country. Leave the place that gives you security. wonder what gives us our security. Go from your people. Leave the community that gives you your identity, your status. Sounds a bit, for some of us, well, it sounds for me like retiring. Go from your father's household. Leave behind everything you had assumed your life would be like. And where was he to go? To a land I will show you. Just that. A few more details, Lord, would be reassuring. Abraham is being called into an ever deeper and an ever more exclusive allegiance to the one that we would call the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. An ever deeper exclusive allegiance that God would use as a means of bringing blessing to all, so that all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Now, we don't like the word exclusive these days. I don't like that word exclusive in lots of ways, because it suggests closing doors on people. If we are being exclusive, somebody we feel isn't being included. But that's not, absolutely not what's happening here. Quite the opposite. Abraham was called into an exclusive allegiance with God, an exclusive allegiance for the sake of all, so that all people might be included in God's blessing, that they might live God's best life, so that all peoples on the earth might be blessed. All sorts and conditions of people, all nations and all peoples. And that's the journey that we're being called further into, out of our securities, out of our sense of identity and status, the old ways we found those things, into an ever deeper and more exclusive allegiance to the God and Father of Jesus, so that God might bring the fullness of life, life in all its fullness, as Jesus says in John 10, to all. Now, we're very aware at times like this, when Peter and Vicky have moved on, that we too have been called out on a journey. And for us, as for Abraham, it's that double journey. An outward journey in search of a new minister, a new ministry, and that more inward journey, as God calls us, each one and together, into a deeper trust and allegiance to him. It's been fascinating thinking about beginning this journey at the same time that the Roman Catholic Church has been seeking its new pope. And while there are a lot of differences, there are actually quite a lot of similarities too. In the conclave, I don't know if you've seen the film, it's not quite like that, but not far off. In the conclave, a group of followers of Jesus come together to worship, to pray, to listen to one another, and to discern the mind of Christ. Or they might wear fancier clothes than we do, but we're doing pretty much the same. Did you ever think of yourself as a cardinal in a conclave? Hey. Before the conclave, a lot of the cardinals found themselves being interviewed by the media, by the press, about what they'd be doing when those doors shut. And two of the things I heard them say really struck me as perhaps being relevant. One of them, when asked whether he was worried that the Catholic Church would go backwards, said this: "It's not about going backwards or forwards, it's about going deeper. Looking for someone who will continue to help us grow deeper in our relationship with God, closer in the way we follow Jesus." And that's our first value too, isn't it? To follow closely so that we might be the better able to share God's love with all. But of course, it is also about going forwards, because the world's always changing. And we need to change how we share the love of God in Jesus with a changed and a changing world. So we need to listen to people's questions. And sometimes that begins by listening to our own questions. And I know that that's an opportunity over the last few years that's been really important for lots of people here. we listen to our questions, we listen to other people's questions for the sake of those others. We listen for people's questions, we listen for where God is at work in people's lives today. And we'll be thinking about more, we'll be thinking more about that, more about our context, more about our hopes and dreams and visions for the future the next time we have a morning like this. Because we're called ever deeper, and we are also called ever more outwards. And we will be concentrating on what that means next time. So if that's your thing, just be patient. We'll get there. The other cardinal was asked about a successor to Pope Francis. And he said, excuse me, we're not here to discern a successor to Francis, but a successor to Peter, the Apostle Peter, this time. The story goes further back than the last pope, the last minister. Oh, they have played their part, and in both those situations have played it wonderfully. But the story goes all the way back to the birth of the church, back before that to Jesus calling his first followers as God comes among us in his great mission of drawing his whole creation to its true self. But of course, we are also searching for a successor to Peter and Vicky. So we need to ask where the last 15 years have brought us, carrying the DNA from way back, expressed in this place today. So the big question for this morning, and we'll have three different questions, but the big question for today and for growth groups and for personal prayer and reflection is, what has God been doing here at the Hub in the last decade or so? Just breaking that down a bit. Looking back, in what ways have we changed as a church? In what ways have you changed personally? For what are you grateful? And we're going to take a reasonable time, we'll take 10 minutes, I think, around tables, just to reflect. It's good to remember and be grateful. And actually, you know, there are an awful lot of people who are grieving a loss. Many of us are grieving a loss, and in the community around. And remembering and being grateful is part of doing that journey in a healthy way. So around your tables, making sure that everybody has an opportunity to contribute, ask yourself the questions, and then please, you have two pieces of paper for each of these three questions. Put on those pieces of paper, and we'll gather them together at the end, but we'll also have a look at them if we have time. Looking back, in what ways have we changed as a church? In what ways have you changed personally? What are you grateful for? What has God been doing at the Hub? Let's celebrate what God has been doing at the Hub in the last decade or so. Does that make sense? Enjoy. Perhaps if I just explain too how, where all of this is going. All of the feedback that we provide from today and, you know, the follow-up feedback that you might want to provide, everything that growth that comes out of growth groups, we would ask, please, somebody in each growth group to reflect back the feedback on the different questions in the growth group notes. That's quite a big job for somebody to do, I appreciate. And I would simply say, please don't do what I am always tempted to do, which is filter it through what I think. I'm very good at making other people's stories sound, you know, into mine. But you're probably much more saintly than me in these things. But all of this will actually feed into the process of producing a church profile, which is one of our major tools in going out to seek a new minister, a new ministers, whatever God has for us. And if we could send that. It will go to the search team and to the leaders, but I think if you could email that to the leaders at, which is, I think, usually in catching up, is it? And if you need, Mark Wolfie is chairing the search group, the search team, but you know who the leaders are. So do. But if you would rather do it in physical writing, like we've been doing this morning, except yourself, that is equally acceptable too. If you bring them here and leave them, and don't ask Heather to do anything with them, but leave them here and I'll collect them when Heather tells me if there are any to collect. We just really want everybody to be able to feel that they are stakeholders in this journey. This is your journey too. I'm just going to go around the tables. I'm just going to ask you to pick out one thing. What has God been doing here at the Hub in the last decade or so? Just one thing, if you can. And we'll just go around the tables and just hear a little bit of some of what people are sharing. Does that make sense? You're wondering where I'm going to start. Aren't you happy if I start here? One thing? Just one thing, and then we'll go round.
From here? I think it was looking back over the last decade or so, we have become what is perceived in the village as a closed community, only here for believers. Okay. And we have somehow... Lord leading us, beginning, I think, the very beginnings with this little bit of a few tables of a cafe, we have changed now to an open community where we have somehow successfully, obviously it's God's work, in drawing the community to us, and they believe they belong here as well.
Wow. We've taken down, by God's grace, well, I mean, you know, God sent Joshua 7 times to get the walls to come down, didn't he? Maybe. Some of the walls have broken down. Now, literally as well, yes. We don't know what walls there may still be for people, of course, but we are incredibly grateful. Fabulous. Something else?
Let's write the same. Opening the church to wider community and welcoming everyone where they are. Inclusivity, warmth, welcoming, safe space, non-judgmental.
Well, praise God, eh? Thank you. If you had something different, that would be wonderful. If you have the same thing, that's fine.
Yeah, we're not just a Sunday church. It's not all about Sundays anymore.
Not all about Sundays anymore. Excellent. Thank you.
It's going to be harder at the end.
I think a number of the things of what we were discussing, but actually the refurb of the building, the change of the structure of this building, says something about who we are, and it has become an open space. And I think the building speaks into what we've been saying about us as people.
Isn't that interesting? We have a few architects among us. Buildings speak, don't they? And I guess you asked what you wanted this building to say, and it communicates. Great. Something else?
I feel that, I think we feel, that God in the last 15 years has been preparing us for now and for the future.
Yes, all of this is okay, Lord. So, what next? What's this for?
We mentioned as well during lockdown, like people were using the gift which God gave them to serve the community. It was a lot of work to the community.
So a lot of gifts have been unearthed and enabled to be used. I know I've got 2 tables left. If I leave you out, tell me.
Thank you, Susan. I think some of the things have been said before, but just picking up a couple of things. Looking outward more, not introverted. What was the other one? Touching lives where they are. We've learnt to value that. Evolve from church to a broader context.
Thank you. And I think just 1 table left, is that right? I'm getting my steps up.
table, people have been here for a long time, except Ron and I, we're relatively new. But one of the things that came out was that the congregation is less local and is drawn from a much wider area. So perhaps not, I don't know, together as one might expect. I don't know.
That's a very interesting observation. And we might want to ask, okay, so what is God doing? What is God preparing us for? What's going on there a little bit? I thought you might also say that many of us are maturing together. Under personal. Very good. Thank you ever so much. We're going to go on to the next question, if we can. The next question is, so who are we now? What's important to us as a church community? What do we value? I'm going to just a little bit of a personal anecdote, if you like. For 18 years, Peter and I were part of a church in South London, Chatsworth Baptist Church, and it's where our boys grew up, really, you know, so just as the hub is for many of you. And we had some pictures of Chatsworth. We had a picture of the deacons, and I guess it was probably in the 1930s, I'm looking at the fount of all detail in our house, something like that. And you can imagine, we had this picture, I don't think they were allowed to smile in those days, of 12 good men and true, and they were, in their seats, lots of hair all over the place in different places. But they were exactly what you would expect from that culture and that time. But alongside that, we had a picture of the church, and I guess it was probably in about 2005, and that part of South London had changed phenomenally. Some of you know it. And I suspect in that picture, maybe 15, 20% of the faces were white. But if I say they were white, they were British, Irish, New Zealand, Dutch, and quite a lot of different Latin American nations from Ecuador, Peru, Colombia, all over the place within our 15 to 20% of white faces. But altogether, at one stage, we had 42 different nationalities in our church family. And I used to say we worshipped more or less in English. Every Sunday had to be a miracle, because how else could church be, really? But an amazing time. But you know the thing that struck me? I looked at that picture from the 1930s, and one 75 years later, those pictures could not have looked more different. But the thing that absolutely floored me was the way that the heart, the personality, the character, the DNA of the church had remained remarkably consistent, you know, expressed in very different ways. And I'm sure those dear people, if they'd walked in from the 1930s to 2005, would have been quite bemused, really. Or maybe they wouldn't have been, you know? But you see what I'm saying, don't you? The question we're asking is, what's our DNA? Who are we now? Who are we? What's important to us as a church community? What do we value? And then if we just look at the next one, the next two sub-questions, you'll probably do. Sorry, Shane, I didn't give you a warning. The next two questions are probably ones you'll reflect on more personally. But who are we? What's important to us? What do we value? And then as we move on, you know what it's like when you move house? Peter reckons he went to the tip 20 times when we left Cardiff. Maybe. But it's the time to clear out some stuff and leave some stuff behind. Are there things we need to leave behind? And even more importantly, as we go on, what must we remember to take with us? What do we need to keep close at hand as we set out on this leg of the journey? But those two top questions are probably the ones to concentrate on, unless you get to the others. What's important to us? What's our DNA? as a church community? What do we value? What do we need to make sure we take with us? And are there things it's time to leave behind? Okay, another go. You've got two pieces of paper, and enjoy. We'll do a similar sort of timing. Okay, so who are we now? What's our DNA? What's important to us? What do we value? Again, just one thing from each table as we go round.
Okay, I'm choosing the best. Well, let's choose a different one. Somebody mentioned sense of humour. And related to that, the freedom to open up about, you know, it all.
A humanness, a sense of humour and an ability to be real, I think, really. Like the Velveteen Rabbit, if you know that story. Something else?
Okay. So we were talking about the importance of opportunities to be able to share our thoughts with each other, which can be the positives and the challenges too. And also by people sharing, that people learn from each other as well.
Thank you. That's a very obvious thing, I think, when you begin to come into this community, that people are used to talking to each other and sharing in that sort of way.
What's important? Love in action.
Okay. Love in action. Very. Thank you.
We've got two things here. Flexibility, I think. We've written down readiness to embrace change while retaining our DNA, i.e. our core values. And one of those core values is being able to show Jesus to people in the community who would not otherwise be able to encounter him.
You. The flexibility, the responsiveness to God's Spirit, if we want to put it that sort of way. Yeah.
The first one, we are God's people, we are a family and unified. We are unlimited because God is unlimited. Continuity, this is the second, what do we value? Continuity, but it will be different. And prepared to be different. We are all on the path of continuing development. So whoever follows Peter and Vicky will be continuing their excellent foundation.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And the unity actually probably embraces a reasonable degree of difference on some things in many ways. Great, thank you.
Yeah, I think repeated, but mostly recognising it's God's work.
Thank you. That's really important, recognising it's God's work. I've been here nearly around.
Well, we've got several things down here. We value good teaching through the word and listening to each other. And ultimately, to be able to witness in a natural way to those around us and out in the community. And, it's important that we grow to love each other, but our love for God to deepen.
Thank you. And finally?
The first word that came to mind when about what we value was people. And then we thought about the fact that in any community, club, society, you might value the people. So what distinguishes the people here? And that was a common faith in God, within which you might disagree or have different views, but your basis is your belief in God and his word, from which stems a mutual trust and ability to share with each other.
Thank you. The importance of the faith that holds us together across all of the other differences and a desire to share our faith in Jesus, not our faith in Jesus, but just to let Jesus become real to people he loves in the way that we know makes such a difference to our lives. Brilliant. Again, we'll be gathering all these. Just one last question, and I don't think I'll necessarily ask us to share around this one. But going back to Abram, you remember that for him this was the second leg, the second upheaval in a long journey. He'd already been through his massive upheaval. And did you hear that he was 75 years old? And whatever you make of Old Testament numbering, we're told that because he was no longer young. You'll remember the same sort of era of scripture tells us that a good lifespan was 70. So, you know, he was no spring chicken. I wonder how he felt at being called to take all these people, and you know what people are like, through another major upheaval. In the growth group notes, you're asked to try and imagine some of the feelings he might be experiencing. What might have kept him awake at night? What might some of his fears have been? And what are our fears? What makes us anxious as we set out on this journey? You do have third pieces of paper. If it's helpful to note them down, yeah, in fact, do note them down if you're willing to. But let's just think for ourselves and just share, because this is a bit more personal, isn't it, around the tables. What are some of the things that make us anxious, maybe us personally or people we know, as we move out on this journey? Perhaps if I share two or three things that could make me anxious, then if there are things you'd like to share, that would be great. I know Wendy's got a spare microphone somebody can bring round if we want to. I think three things that perhaps could make me anxious. I could feel anxious for the leaders. And for those who carry responsibility, and there are lots of people here, because I know that that can be very tiring, and sometimes you don't quite know how much responsibility there is to carry until it's sort of weighing you down. So I could feel anxious for the leaders, and do commend them to you in every way, not least for your prayers, but for practical things too. I suppose there's a sort of question for me. I could be anxious that, and maybe this is a personal thing, that we are aging together. And you just think, okay, Lord, so what's going on here? And what has God been preparing us for? Your question, Dennis, I think is one of the ones that will, you know, stay with me from this morning. But particularly. I just have anxieties, maybe too strong a word, to have a question around that. And the other thing that I find curious, but I think will be an interesting journey to walk forward listening to God around, is the way that areas of God's activity, areas of growth around the life of the hub I don't know if there's anybody here from Messy Church, but Messy Church really is an area where people are gathering, people are actually learning and discovering, because it's Messy Church, you know, and Peter and Vicky have been very clear that it's Messy Church. But I just wonder how, because those people don't come on Sunday mornings. Now, that may simply be because they do Saturdays, not Sundays, and you know how firmly patterned our lives can be. We don't know, but okay, Lord, so What are you saying? What does that mean? What does the next leg of the journey mean? I have no answers. I just have the questions. And wherever you've got questions, I guess there's the openness that, well, you want to be, you'd love a few more details, wouldn't you, and a plan from God, but that's not quite how it works. Are there other anxieties that people feel that they'd like to share, they can share? They don't have to be deeply personal things. They can just be things you've picked up from others. Is there anything?
The one thing that we picked out was, will the church grow old, and the lack of younger people?
Thank you. This is not just me. I'm coming. Whoops, sorry.
I think it was mentioned a little bit earlier with what you're saying, Susan, about security. And I think for a lot of people within the church, it was the security has been taken away from them a little bit. And there's an anxiety around the unknown, and we don't like change normally. And it's working a little bit blindly. And I think that there's more of a need now to work and look to God at this moment, and not have the security every Sunday of Pete and Vicky and with the running of everything. So I think that's probably a good thing. I think that's probably where an area where I think a lot of people, people within the church that have seen a change within leadership of the hub previously, have seen it as a moment of growth, and I think probably maybe for that reason.
All of us in different ways are at least a little bit and possibly well out of our comfort zone, you know, that famous phrase.
I think there may be a chance that because Peter and Vicky were so much loved that we might make comparisons with who's coming, and we might not be as open to that person as we might be, and I just hope that we can keep open minds and welcome them and make them feel a part of it.
Thank you. Yes, a different person who brings a different contribution maybe. I would just want to be reassuring my experience of this community. You'll get there.
Thank you. I was thinking earlier on about Abraham on his journey, and I was thinking pre-internet days for the older... Hang on, be careful. booking holidays, you might have to book a holiday based upon a little newspaper advert or maybe a brochure if you're lucky, and it was a complete surprise when you got there at what the place would be like. Now we want photos of every room, a video of the whole, you know, 360-degree video tour of the whole lot, and reviews and everything, so it's not a surprise. But back then, you had to be a lot more trusting about where you're going. Now we need every detail before we book anything. And we want free cancellation with it, just in case it doesn't go.
So to send a minister back after 3 months if they're not matching. Thank you. Yes, I mean, that's very interesting, actually. Maybe that degree of flexibility and insecurity is an area where we will grow still further. One last one and then we'll pray.
Yeah, we also mentioned what happened is we don't like the person that we can't hear.
You said it. Yes. Well, you know the process, or some of you do, some of you probably don't. You know the process that we work through. As a church with a Baptist DNA, you know, we are a congregational church. And it's we've talked about unity, and it's really important that we hear one another, we hear the concerns, and we work to a place where we may not all feel the same, but we all have a real sense of God's leading. So, which is partly why We very much want everybody to know that their voice is important. We're not a democracy, we are a theocracy. But underneath, everybody. Baptists have this wonderful phrase, the priesthood of all believers, which basically means that that we are together as we gather the place where we discern the mind of Christ. And what we've been doing together is a bit of that. And when the church comes together in church meeting, there will be lots of time to get to know whoever's, because we don't know, do we? I sometimes say that I don't know if this is helpful or not. It's a cross between a sort of job application and a sort of speed dating agency, because we're looking for that personal a sense that this is right. It's not necessarily chemistry, but just a settled sense that this is right. And we will continue until we get there, by God's grace. I think it would be good just to gather up some of this as we pray. So let's just take a few minutes, should we, to pray together. The Lord is here. Moving among us by his Spirit. The risen Jesus is wandering around between our tables and looking at us. And he looks at us with eyes that are so full of understanding and of love. Lord, thank you that we can bring all of our discussion this morning, but especially our concerns, to you. Hear us as we pour out our hearts before you. Can we take a few moments just to pray for the people we've particularly been talking with this morning, the people around your table? And perhaps imagine Jesus laying his hand on each one as you pray for them, giving the gift of his reassurance, his peace, whatever it is that they need. And we pray for Peter and Vicky, and the family, but Peter and Vicky particularly. Lord, with so much thankfulness. And we recognize the major step that you're taking them on. And Lord, we know that you have gone ahead of them, but we pray that you will go with them and overshadow them in the whole process of leaving and arriving and transitioning, for Peter in his role and for Vicky, Lord, in whatever you have for her. Hold them strongly in your love and in your peace, we pray. We pray for the leaders here at the Hub, and thank you for them and their incredible generosity in the way they serve, for the members of the search team too. Lord, direct their paths. Show them what is theirs to do and what can be left. And somehow use this time, yes, to draw them deeper into you, but Lord, to draw us all on that journey together. Please, in the pinch points, will you particularly be at work? We pray for the community that gather in the Hub Cafe and in all of the different groups week by week. And we know a sense of loss that many of them are feeling and their anxieties. Lord, may this be an opportunity when they experience something more of you not just of the people that you draw alongside them. But we do pray for them, Lord. Thank you that you love them with a deep and an unshakable love. Open their eyes to see the lover and to receive more of that love. And we cannot gather here this morning without being aware of the world in which we live. And Father, we come this morning with heartbreak for all that is happening in and around Gaza with its people, recognizing that that hurt spills over beyond the people trapped in Gaza too. But Lord, for them, for this situation, we pray, Lord, have mercy. And for people in Ukraine, and for the moves towards perhaps coming to some pathway out, Lord, we long that a door should be opened out of an impossible situation that will lead into a future worth having for all of the people caught up in that situation. We pray, deliver us from evil and shine the lights of your presence into that incredibly complicated situation. And we pray for ourselves, Lord, and come consciously to entrust ourselves to you for our part in this journey. We come thanking you for one another and for the deep trust and confidence we can have in you. And we thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers and that they are gathered into your heart, even as we pray them this morning. Let's gather up our praying as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his followers. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. I'm just going to read you the end of Hebrews 11, and then we're going to listen to a piece of music as we finish. And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that somehow they could gain a better resurrection. We have always been a peculiar people, haven't we? Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. Some were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us together, so that only together with us would this story be complete.